possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Want to talk about anything this morning? We're here for you, 888-808-1019. We talked a little bit about the David Wright ceremony and Francisco Lindor seemingly going to be the next captain after a video leaked that was basically saying that. The torch being passed from David Wright as they do the number retirement and then Lindor getting the captaincy. And if this does happen, which we're assuming that it does, I think it's awesome. And I think he is totally deserving. It doesn't feel like a forced thing at all. We saw his leadership last year and the previous year. When he first got here, it was tough. It was tough sledding. I think he had to get used to the market, used to the fans, used to everything. He had the whole thumbs down thing going on with Javi Baez. But ever since that, he's been exactly the player that we wanted to get from Cleveland in that trade. And there are a few people that really earn that C. Now, I don't know because, and I only would think of this because of stuff you said about like Aaron Judge and Juan Soto and the contract. Like, I wonder if the money that Juan Soto got this offseason and Francisco Lindor being here and being, like, number two in the MVP race last year, that this captaincy and giving it to him right after they signed Juan Soto to this massive deal had something to be like, listen, we love you, we respect you, you're still our leader. Just because this guy's making $750 million doesn't mean we don't love you, too.
Yeah, I would just say that all the players in all the sports want every player to get as much money as they possibly can. Because as we always often talk about, rising tides lift all boats. And that's exactly what every player should be doing. So I would have never paid Juan Soto that kind of money. But the fact that the Mets did, that's great for not only Juan Soto, but it's great for the rest of the players in the league. And when Paul Skeens comes up for a contract or Scooble comes up for a contract, I mean, these guys are all going to benefit from what the Mets just did. And, you know, it's one thing to spend the money on Shohei Ohtani because he's a pitcher and he's a hitter and he's a great baseball
international
player,
superstar.
International superstar. That's one thing. It's another thing to, you know, do what the Mets did and basically take him away from the Yankees and pay him that insane contract. But that's exactly what you want. But there is no question that the unquestioned leader on this team seems to be Francisco Lindor, especially over the last 2 years. So, yeah, I mean, it feels right to me. I think it feels right to everybody in that clubhouse. And interestingly, I don't know if you listened to Sal talking to Terry Collins yesterday.
I heard the beginning of it. I didn't get a chance to listen to the whole thing.
It was good. I didn't know this story, and neither did Sal, and I'm glad that Terry told it, that he went to David Wright saying, I want you to be the captain of the team, and David initially turned it down. And then came back to Terry, I guess, a day later and said, look, let me just talk to my teammates first and let me see what they think, because that's the kind of guy that David Wright is. So I guess David took a little bit of a poll and spoke to a couple of his teammates. And once he got, you know, comfortable with the fact that teammates were not going to hold it against him or didn't think that he was, you know, separating himself from the team, he accepted the captaincy. And that's the way you got to do it. That's the right way to do it.
Right, right. Absolutely. I mean, and that's what made him the captain was the selflessness or the non-selfishness that he possessed. So, yeah, I mean, I that's going to be a great day there at Citi Field on Saturday. And I know that the Mets fans are going to be just basking in it.
You know, it's just too bad that David had those back problems. And again, Terry Collins told a story yesterday, about David playing with a bad back, but he was hitting so well and his average was above 300. Like Terry said, nobody ever thought there was anything wrong until he finally went to the trainers and the trainers figured out that he did have a back problem and an issue. And that unfortunately curtailed a career that could have probably won another 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, and he also, I heard Jerry talking about the story that Terry Collins told, and I remember there being like rumors about this, and the story had gotten out a little bit back in the day, but Terry Collins had a rule that everybody needed to be in the dugout at the beginning of the game. Like, everybody who was in uniform had to be the dugout at the beginning of the game, and you know, David Wright's a captain at this point. He's looking around, and there's no Noah Syndergaard. And he wasn't pitching that day, but you just had to be there. That was one of his rules. And Noah Syndergaard was doing a signing, I guess, before the game that the Mets had asked him to do.
The PR staff.
Yes. So he's in the clubhouse eating a sandwich, and David Wright goes and finds him. And he goes, "What are you doing? You know you got to be in here." And Noah Syndergaard goes, "Well, you guys had lunch. I had to do the signing that the team asked me to do, so I'm eating a sandwich." And David Wright took the sandwich and threw it out and said, "Get your ass in the dugout." I was like, wow. You know, I mean, I had heard rumors of that story back in the day, but the fact that Terry Collins told it, I mean, that's just, you know, it's the little things, you know, it's the no loose ends. You're not bigger than anybody.
I'm right there with what David did there. I just, you know, I'm trying to think how old Noah Syndergaard must have been at that time.
Probably young.
Like his first or second year, maybe?
Yeah. It's probably not just the sandwich thing. There might have been other things that had led to that reaction.
Some of these guys just aren't aware of things that they're doing and how it affects everything.
Yeah.
A captain is aware.
Sure.
The real thing, you know, that a captain can do, and I think Aaron Judge does it really well for the Yankees, is you just lead by example. You don't always have to say something. You just go out there, you go about your business, you do your work, everybody sees how much effort you're putting into it, and then you'd like the thing that you're dragging the rest of your teammates with you. And every time you hear a Yankee player talking about Aaron Judge, that's exactly what they're saying about him. And hopefully that's what the Met player in that dugout feels about Francisco Lindor now.
Oh, I think absolutely.
But what happens if, you know, Juan Soto dogs it out of the, you know, batter's box a few times?
Well, I mean,
then can your $350 million man say something to your $760 million man?
Yeah, not like that. Not like the David Wright Noah Syndergaard conversation or throwing something away. No, I don't think that works. I think there's a way to talk about it, like Mendoza to say something or Francisco Lindor to say something, but it's certainly not going to be aggressive.
You know how people talked about Juan Soto's body language.
Mm.
He looked unhappy. He looked distant. You know, when you pay somebody that much money, you're thinking you're buying their happiness and you're buying their loyalty and their effort and their energy and everything else. And, you know, he's a human being like everybody else. So he gets off to a bad start and the body language experts start coming out. Everybody starts talking about the frowns on his face. Where's that smile? Where's that guy that does the slide in the batter's box? And I think when you spend that kind of money on somebody that has done something somewhere else and hasn't done it for you yet, those expectations are there. And there's one team right now that's getting ready to do this to two players, and that's Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner. Because Aaron Glenn's going to run a tough camp, and he needs his two best players to be in line. Like, they have to be – they can't be bitching and complaining about contracts. They've got to be able to – you know, take the criticism from the coach after the team just bucked up when they didn't have to. This is unprecedented what the Jets did with these two kids. So I think that's, you know, what they expect from those two players is to be leaders and to take whatever criticism or whatever tough coaching that Aaron Glenn's going to be bringing to them. I would hope that Francisco Lindor would accept the captaincy with that type of responsibility as well.
All right, let's get some calls in. Let's go to our pal Anthony in Belleville this morning. What's up, Anthony?
Boomer and Gio.
Oh, yeah, Anthony. What's happening, brother? Woo. You got to be sweating your ass off these days, huh? You remind me of a guy that's moist. You're always moist.
You have no idea, Boomer. You have no idea.
No, I have an idea. Like, you and Marash are like, you know, brothers.
Hey, I just dropped 15 pounds.
Oh, nice. Good for you, man. Keep it going. Good stuff.
Where'd you drop it off at?
It's funny, Booms.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah, what do you want?
Hey, so you threw me off there. Now, I just want to say welcome back, yeah. And, you know, to this. Welcome back to this.
Yeah.
And I want to say you're the captain of the team, Boomer, but you got to, Gio, you know, that shirt looks a little zesty this morning.
That is funny.
Boomer's got a nice shirt on. And you were in a zesty shirt.
I hate to break it to you, Anthony. Yeah. You know who gave me this shirt? Boomer.
I have the same shirt.
Yeah.
It's a red Bandley golf shirt. It's beautiful.
Yes.
And it looks really good on G. And
I don't see you wearing yours, Boomer.
I'm wearing a pullover because it's freezing in here.
Listen, I mean, I'll take criticism from a lot of people about wardrobe, but every time I've seen you, you're wearing a 20-year-old t-shirt with French onion dip on it. So you're not the guy to really be criticizing my polos, but I love you nonetheless.
I love you too, guys.
All right, see you, Anthony. Call soon, all right?
Yeah, it makes me cry every time he calls.
He's such a good guy, but he is moist, right? Like, I feel like when we've seen him, it's generally at an event in the summer, and you'll shake his hand, and it's like clammy. You're sticking your hand in a puddle.
It's like very clammy.
It's clammy, small, moist hand.
He kind of reminds me of Marash.
Yeah.
Like, you know Marash out, where was he, West Babylon?
Bright Waters or something.
Bright Waters, okay. He's got the backyard, you know.
Yeah, the whole thing. Backyard bar, the above ground swimming pool, and the whole deal. Yeah.
PVC fencing.
Yeah, 100%.
He's sweating his ass off in the backyard. You know it.
Oh, yeah. No doubt he is. But I feel like he's a little more together than Anthony is. And I haven't shook Marash's hand in a while, so I don't know if it's moist. But Anthony, I think, moist.
He seems like he's moist.
Yeah, for sure. I guess he's playing golf now, Marash. Every time I see his Instagram, he's out there playing.
Nice. Good for him.
Let's go to Bob in Bayside. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, Bob. What do you got for us?
So you were talking about the serenity of playing golf away from your cell phones and people get away from their cell phones. My pet peeve is at work. Guys in the restroom, in the bathroom, they got their cell phone in one hand, they're standing at the urinal, and obviously, you know, it's in the other hand. Mm. And I'm like, it drives me insane.
Yeah.
I think it's like, it's disgusting. And it's constant. They're texting, they're checking messages. And I'm like, what? First of all, it's a two-hand job. You don't use one hand.
For some of us, it is.
Good line.
To get your thoughts on that.
Like, I can totally understand. Like, I've heard, and good call, Bob. You know, I've heard people in the stalls here that are duping, that'll be scrolling through social media.
That's a different story. I think a lot of people do that. Yeah, because that's like taking a newspaper or a book in there.
Right. Essentially, yes. But The urinal phone check is severe. It's totally unnecessary. How long is your average pee? What are we talking?
Well, it depends.
You know, 30 seconds on average, maybe less.
You have
to be on your phone in that 30 seconds, that close to urine and your hands. And
I don't know. I had 10 gallons of water yesterday, so I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I had 10 gallons of water yesterday in that heat, and I didn't pee once. It's crazy, because I was sweating it all out. Not one time on a golf course.
Wow.
I had probably like 120 ounces of liquid.
Exactly.
And occasionally you get the guys who are actually having a conversation during their dupe.
Yeah, I mean,
That's a little disconcerting.
I can't do that. Like, if I'm on the phone with somebody, listen, I'm sorry, I'll call you right back. I can't sit there and dupe and talk to somebody.
What are you doing?
Nothing. Frank in Kings Point. What's going on, Frank?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. What's happening, Frankie?
Hey, guys. I'm a Yankee fan, you know, and I think the thought of Lindor becoming the Mets captain is like blasphemy for me. I mean, the Yankees have never had a player that we've traded for.
You know what? Here's what I would say, Frankie. Don't worry about the Mets, man. You got such a great franchise and such a great history and tradition. Why do you worry about the Mets, honestly? What are you worried about us for?
Because I root for the Mets also. I don't hate the Mets.
Yeah, I don't hate the Yankees too. Either, and that's why I talk so glowingly about Aaron Judge.
Right, but again, my point, another homegrown player. Frank,
are you a hockey fan?
No, I hate hockey. I don't like the fighting.
Well, I was going to bring up Mark Messier, right?
Yeah, I don't like the fighting in hockey. That's why I'm not a hockey
they,
fan.
They don't really fight anymore. They fight like maybe 5% of the time.
Yeah, I mean, like, Mark Messier came from another organization.
And he changed the culture. You know, this is the funny thing, because you and I were talking about this yesterday.
Mm.
The culture of the Jets.
That's right.
Somebody wants to change the culture of the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, when you hear that from, what was it, Sauce Gardner said it?
Yes.
Sauce Gardner said he's going to change the culture. What, the culture that you've been here and been a part of and were drafted into that, you know, you're one of the star players? I mean, how are you changing the culture? The new coach has to change the culture. You're part of the bad culture. You were.
Well, according to the new culture guys, that there was a bad culture. I didn't think there was a bad culture here. I just thought there was a lot of disconnect for whatever reason with the whole all-in on Aaron Rodgers. And I love the fact that they brought Davante Adams here. And I love the fact that, you know, I actually thought Aaron played pretty decent last year. And the defense did not play that great.
Yeah. And by the way, Keith Hernandez, a captain for the Mets as well. Of course, not a homegrown Met. So, I mean, you know, Frank, he's a Yankee fan. He wants to do the whole we're better than everybody thing. But, I mean, there are examples of players who come over from other organizations but will always be known with that second organization more, though, than the first.
And you'd like to give it to a guy that has a long-term contract in baseball.
That's right. Gary Carter, John Franco. There's been a lot of captains out there that weren't homegrown. So
yeah, but Johnny Franco's from here. He's really homegrown.
That is true. He is. He's 100% homegrown. However, not drafted by the Mets, didn't come up by the
Mets. David Wright's the only Mets captain so far that started his career with the Mets, because the other three are Keith, Gary, and Franco, who all started somewhere else.
Yep. So, hey.
I mean, it is.
You're a
what
leader,
it is.
You're a leader.
Yeah, it is what it is, man. You know? I mean, if the players in your locker room and the manager in your locker room and your general manager that has given you this contract think that you are worthy of the captaincy, then that says a lot about who you are.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been Pete Crow Armstrong if he stuck around. He could have been the captain, homegrown. It's not happening.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut.
An artist.
An actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW. Countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Thursday morning. We've got Jerry Recco back with us. He's got another update. What's going on, Jerry?
All right, we were brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I did not realize the Shane Gillis thing was like the front page of the Post, too. I was not aware of this.
Yeah, well, it's front page of post.com. I don't know if the actual newspaper had it, but I mean, good it's, yeah, I mean, it was a huge deal. I mean, he you know, it crossed over. He did politics. He did sports. He did all sorts of social issues. So, he yeah.
So there's only one other guy that I think that I would, well, maybe two other guys that I would have loved to have seen have an opportunity to do what he did last night. Maybe they will in future years. One would be Dave Chappelle.
Okay. And the other Anthony in Belleville?
Not Anthony in Belleville, no. I was thinking Ricky Gervais.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he did the Oscars.
I thought Bill Burr would be a good one. If you had Bill Burr or Dave Chappelle, because Bill Burr's a big sports fan. I don't know if Ricky Gervais knows anything about American sports.
Which would make it even funnier.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, I think that
Dave Chappelle would be.
No, of course. I mean, how can you argue with that? Can't argue with that.
All right, so you mentioned the politics. So here we go, the hour of Trump with Gillis. This was the first mention.
Donald Trump wants to stage a UFC fight on the White House lawn. The last time he staged a fight in D.C., Mike Pence almost died. All right. You don't have to do that. It was fine. I didn't write it. Actually, there was supposed to be an Epstein joke here, but as it got deleted. Must have probably deleted itself, right? Probably never existed, actually. Let's move on as a country and ignore that.
So that was the first mention.
Oh, God.
Now I'm going to take you back to, I guess this was probably June, and there's a reason why I'm playing this, when the Eagles visited the White House.
This is a big group. We're going to introduce them. Jordan Mailata.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, John. These are big people.
Okay. Now we take it back to last night.
Can we stop pretending Donald Trump knows ball? It's like a weird thing where they're like, man, he loves sports. He doesn't know anything about sports. Every time a team comes and visits the White House, he's like, and you must be the guy who catches. It's like, look at these guys, big guys, black guys. And that's just when the New York Liberty visited.
I mean,
I had not heard that. You didn't hear that one? That's what I missed.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Then I'll take you back one more time, another Trump clip.
I was there. I watched in person.
So this is about the Super Bowl.
I was there. I watched in person. I was there along with Taylor Swift. How did that work out? How did that one work out?
All right, so we know he was at the Super Bowl. Here's Gillis telling the story of getting near him at such event.
It was halftime, and we looked up, and we saw Trump. I was with my buddy, and I was like, we should just sneak up there and try to meet him. And we did. We got into his suite, which turns out it's pretty easy to get access to Donald Trump, which is probably why he keeps getting shot all the time.
Jesus. So now he talks about being inside the suite.
Took a picture with him, and I posted it, and people got upset about that. What the hell? He's the president. If Osama bin Laden was in the suite, I would have been like, yeah, you're crazy. All right. But he's shaking hands with everybody, and it's very funny. Trump does this thing whenever he meets somebody for the first time, he doesn't know him. He gives him like a crazy compliment. It's kind of nice. Like, he got to the guy next to me, and he was like, look at you, you're beautiful. And then he got to me, and he was like, look at you, you're huge. And I was like, thank you, Mr. President.
So now the daughter comes into play.
And then his daughter, Ivanka, walked over to us, which, by the way, so hot. She walked over, and it was halftime of the Super Bowl. I was hammered. I was like, hello. Your dad just said I was huge.
So that's kind of goofy. And then he ends the sweet story. This is a long clip. He ends the sweet story.
So now it's me, Trump, and Ivanka. They're not talking to me, obviously, but I can overhear what they're saying. And Trump goes, Ivanka, how would you like to meet the president of soccer? And sure enough, the president of FIFA soccer was also in the suite with us. He was getting like nachos. And Donald Trump just looks at him and goes, ew. And the guy put his plate down and walked straight to us. And then Donald Trump didn't even look at him. He just kept talking to his daughter. And he goes, this is the president of soccer. And they gave us the World Cup. And they did that because of me. And then he walked out of the room. It was just me and the president of FIFA looking at each other like, that was crazy.
So pretty funny. As he really got into a lot, as you can imagine, last night. And I mean, I'm up to 31 clips now.
Wow.
From all the, yeah, I mean.
Nonstop, man.
He went after everyone. This one, I think, fell a little flat.
Megan Rapinoe could not make it tonight. Nice. No, we're going to pretend she's a good time. All right.
That's great.
So I thought that was pretty funny too. Trying to think anything else. I'm going to do a whole bunch of the Eagles and more NFL stuff next hour. This does not fall in terms of the NFL yet, more so college.
Shador Sanders had his jersey number retired at Colorado this year, and people are saying it's because of nepotism, because of his father, and it's not. It's because he went 13-12 over his career, and he almost won the Alamo Bowl. Definitely not nepotism, right? All right.
So, there you have it. Mets baseball will be back this weekend. The Mets take on the Reds. They got the whole David Wright ceremony on Saturday, and the Yankees will be in Atlanta. Another ESPN. This is Chris Russo. I don't know. They do something on First Take where he's got complaints, and this is, I think, something that a lot of us can probably understand. He's discussing issues with the airlines and losing luggage, and in this case, it turns out his son had his golf clubs lost on a recent trip.
Dad, my golf clubs didn't make it. We're playing Saturday morning. This is Friday afternoon. What do you mean your golf clubs didn't make it? Tim, your other bag, they didn't make it. It was an oversized bag. You know, it took me 2.5 hours to locate the clubs at Heathrow. They didn't know where they were. My son needs the golf clubs, for crying out loud.
Okay. They did turn up, and he would go to actually pick them up.
Couldn't find
find them. We finally found the golf club.
Okay.
Did you know I had the ticket stub? I put Timmy on FaceTime. Timmy, will you tell the people here that the golf clubs are yours and your father, who paid for it, wants to take them out of the airport so I can get to the clubs the next day and I get on it? They wouldn't let me take the clubs out of Heathrow. So Timmy's clubs had to stay at Heathrow overnight.
Oh, no.
And he didn't have his golf clubs on Saturday because British Airways, A, couldn't find them and wouldn't give it to his father.
I'm talking about first world problems.
Oh, 100%. And then this is the last one, the response from the airline.
Here's their answer. It's protocol, sir. I am not interested in protocol. I'm interested in five irons. I am not interested in that. And they called the police on me.
Oh, whoa.
I'm a loud American. We're going to get the authorities. I don't give a crap about authorities. Get the golf clubs where they're supposed to be.
Can you imagine if he got arrested?
Called the police on him.
I guess he was being very loud and vocal.
Yeah, that's the airport, as we know, is not a place to have a freak out like that.
No, it is not.
You just end up in a bad situation. You know, we were coming home from Disney, and there was a snow globe that Gina had bought down in Disney, and then they pull it out of the bag, and they go, you know, you're not allowed
to have much water.
Yeah, the water in the snow globe, and she's getting really, really mad. About, you know, I spent all this money, it's a snow globe for a kid. And I was like, I had to, pull her aside. I'm like, listen, the snow globe's gone. We'll find it online. This is not the place to have a meltdown.
You get arrested.
Then you're going to be in handcuffs. Yep. And then all of a sudden, this great trip that we had is going to end with you in jail.
Yep.
So forget about the snow globe.
Would have been a great story on Monday morning, though, for you.
Yeah, it would have been unbelievable.
What was interesting with that story, I don't know if you've noticed this at all, traveling, you know, with the golf clubs. It used to be, you used to have the ticket to show them, kind of like what he's talking about there. These days, you go to Newark, they just throw them on the carousel. And anybody can pick up. And they're golf clubs. Anybody can pick them up. Which, I mean.
That's everywhere, by the way.
Is it everywhere?
Yes.
All right. I thought it was
nobody's
just.
Nobody's checking anything anymore.
No, but they.
Somebody's going to stand there and check tickets. I know back in the day, they used to.
They didn't. When we landed in Dallas for the Super Bowl, I think Eddie would remember. Were you with us in Dallas? I think we had trouble, not trouble, but we had to confirm the tickets with them before we could get out of the gate.
Really?
Yeah, they got on the carousel and there was someone there matching the tickets with the bags.
I can't remember the last time that I've had to do that.
That's also, I think, 13 years ago, by the way.
So maybe international flight. But then again, I just had an international flight and I didn't, no ticket there either. I don't know.
I don't know either. The Commanders sign Von Miller and the Clippers are signing Bradley Beal. So next hour, you're going to get a lot of the Shane Gillis with the NFL and with the Eagles. And also, I want to run through that movie trailer for you that I have almost finished cutting up. So all of that's still coming.
Yeah, Nick Sirianni looked great last night.
I have one of those clips too.
Looks like he wasn't out of shape, but he looks like he's super in shape.
I can play this for you. This is after they do the fake movie trailer about the tush push. When they came back, he was sitting with Sirianni.
Hey, I'm here with Coach Sirianni. Coach, did you you come up with that play?
Yeah, as a staff, we did, yeah.
It's kind of weird that you guys did that, right?
It was kind of exactly how you just showed it right there.
Yeah? Well, you must be a football genius to come up with a play like that.
We got these big guys behind me right here that does that pushing.
He seems fun. I think he was a little unprepared.
Well, of course. I mean, he's also an NFL head coach.
That is true.
He doesn't want to do anything that's going to get him in hot water. Just let Shane Gillis do the whole men pushing men joke.
And he did.
Yes, right.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. The NFC East is going to be an interesting division. It always is for us because the Giants are in there. And you see the Commanders adding Von Miller to the squad. Now, I don't know how much he's got left in the tank. He's certainly someone who has been around the game and maybe helps the locker room, whatever. I don't think it's a huge impact. I mean, know, they brought in Deebo Samuel. They still have this Terry McLaurin situation with the contract and really Jaden Daniels in his sophomore season. Is it going to be like a C.J. Stroud, a little bit of a step back sophomore season, or does he take off and be, you know, the next great one? So, I mean, that's a team. You look on paper, I know that the Cowboys could be either, you know, boom or bust. They could be an 11-win team or a 5-win team. But you got the Eagles who are better than the Giants. You got the Commanders who are now better than the Giants. And
well, the thing about it is that we always talk about the Giants having a tough schedule. The same thing could be said about the other three teams in their division. They all have a tough schedule.
But they're better, you know.
But I also believe that the Giants will be better, too. I think a healthy Andrew Thomas is big. I think a healthy offensive line is going to be huge for them. They have, at least on paper, people think one of the best defensive lines in football now. Maybe a much better defense overall. You know, Malik Nabers is a top-end wide receiver. And it really comes down to, you know, what Russell Wilson can do and how long they're going to continue to go with him before eventually handing the reins over to Jackson Dart if they decide to do that this year. I think all things considered, if somehow Russell can get them to a winning record after, say, 6 or 7 games, you know, then you never know what the rest of your schedule when you're playing your teams and who's hurt, who's not, which quarterback's missing, which coach has lost his team, all of those things happen.
Yeah, you know what I want to see? Well, I shouldn't say I want to see this because I do want to see them win some games and stay relevant as long as possible. But, like, let's say it's week 6, the season's not going great. At that point, to make a quarterback change, is it going to be Jackson Dart at that point? Are they going to think that he's ready enough, like, 6 games into the season?
I mean, only they, you know, listen, this kid played a lot of football in college. It's not like he's, you know, 18 years old.
Right.
You know, it's like this Tyler Shuck kid played on 6 different teams in college. You know, he had like 3 or 4 injuries that were significant that cost him time. But he was, at one point in time, was Justin Herbert's backup out in Oregon. And right now could be the projected starter for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, that team is going to stink. Crazy. Huh?
Well, and that's why we were talking about this yesterday. Now, and I think it's one of the reasons why there is a discussion about Arch Manning coming out of Texas after next year. I don't think that's happening. I personally do not think that's happening. Even though if the Saints had the number 1 overall pick, Grandpa was, you know, was Archie Manning. Here comes Arch Manning, you know, 40 years later. I mean, you know, that would be some amazing story for the Manning family. But I think the kid, if what Eli told me 2 years ago about this young man, that he's going to want to be like Peyton and Eli and enjoy their college time. And by the way, Peyton and Eli didn't make the money that this kid's making in Texas.
Yeah, right, which is a huge part of this. And, you know, I still think, though, if he has a great season and it feels like he's going to be the number 1 overall pick, it's just a tough thing to turn down at that point and go back to school. It just it really is.
Texas is spending over $35 to $40 million on their football team. And, you know, they were the first ones with the Longhorn TV network.
Yeah.
That were able to really monetize their franchise, if you will, which is Texas football, which is one of the 5 biggest programs in the country. And it is insane. I mean, it is a passion, a religion, if you will. And they have so much money. They have so many boosters. They sell out every game. And they have the preeminent quarterback in college football right now starting for them.
Yeah. I mean, that's as spectacular as it gets in college football right now. But I still think, even though the money is there and the fun and all these things about college, if he has a monster season, and he may not, but if he has a monster season, especially if the Saints are sitting there with the number 1 overall pick, there's no way he's going back.
You know,
to college.
I think the kid is pretty grounded myself. I do. I think he's his dad Cooper is a great guy, and he's got great uncles. He's got great grandparents. I mean, look, the kid is coming from a very, very grounded family. They want to do it the right way. You know, it's fortunate enough for him that he's able to make money. You know, I can't ever imagine him entering the transfer portal. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not happening.
Like, you know, he shook the hand of the coach, and I want to be your quarterback. He sat behind Quinn Ewers, and he played a little bit, and now it's his turn. And I think that this is something that, you know, it's been done the right way. When I think about the way that he has been brought up and the way that he played in high school and then ultimately chose this school and then just sat there, you know, quietly, didn't bitch and complain, didn't go into some transfer portal, and knew that, you know, it was good for him to sit and watch.
And now is his time. Let's finally see a full season of him. Nick in Newton, New Jersey. What's going on, Nick?
Oh, yeah, Nick.
What's up, man?
What's happening, Nicky?
So you guys are talking about the Mets naming Lindor the next captain. Boomer, are the Rangers going to name a captain, and will they not trade him while he still is the captain of the New York Rangers?
Yeah, I hope not. I would think that they would name a captain, and I think it's either going to be JT Miller or Vincent Trocheck. That's who I would think the captains would, or a captain would be.
Yeah. I mean, and there's some controversy around the last one, obviously, as it was alluded to here.
Well, Jacob Trouba, but, you know, that, you know, again, this is, you know, off-season, social media-driven, guy laid it on the line for the team, played hurt, and basically the team, you know, decided they had to move on. And there was something missing in that locker room for some reason, and I blame part of the problems on that team with the front office of that team.
I think there's too many captains on NFL teams now. It's like a bunch of them can get them.
Yeah. I don't know.
A big roster.
It is a big roster, and you like to have a collection of players that you consider your player council, and those are your captains, where you can go to them if things aren't going well, and you can say to them, hey, look, man, and we heard this about Jalen Ramsey and the Miami Dolphins, and you want to talk about an embarrassing story for Mike McDaniel?
Mm.
So Mike McDaniel, basically the head coach, the stories that come out about Jalen Ramsey being late for practice, late for meetings, and really not being able to do anything about it, and, you know, and Jalen, you know, thinks of himself as a Hall of Fame player. So now you got a real problem. One of the guys who thinks he's one of the best players, but yet doesn't realize that his actions are chewing away at the team. Now, I don't know if Tyreek Hill's that way. He could be that way too. And if they're walking all over the coach down there, that's why you would hear that Mike McDaniel is on thin ice because of crap like that.
Yeah, when things are going well and the offense was churning, it was cute. When they're losing and there's a bunch of injured players and you hear somebody's locker room issues, and Tyreek Hill basically said at the end of the season, even though he's not going anywhere now, but he said at the end of the season that he was going to look elsewhere and all this other stuff. I mean, and then you see the nebbishy, thin, sort of awkward head coach. Now all of a sudden it's not cute.
They're
anymore.
Walking all over him. Yeah, that's what it looks like. It's fun when he can get the most out of Tua, and they can have a high flying offense. But it's not fun when they're walking all over this goofy coach, who is putting on these crazy press conferences, and the players just know that they could just completely walk all over him, which is what it sounds like happened with Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, and that year that they were winning when they were on Hard Knocks in season, I mean, the players did respect him and love him because of how good the offense was.
Plus, he was different. He was a breath of fresh air, I'm sure, for them.
Of course, but it's also, I mean, you're coming off of Brian Flores, who was apparently very, very strict, and then here comes Mike McDaniel, the opposite of that. But it doesn't feel like this is going to last more than this year.
It doesn't. And, you know, who is completely opposite of that right now are the New England Patriots. And the New England Patriots spent more money on free agency than any team in football. I'm not saying that they bought a team and that the team's going to be better just simply because they spent the money. But they went out and they got a legitimate head coach who's got head coaching experience and also New England Patriot experience. And they also brought back Josh McDaniels as their offensive coordinator. And that, to me, is the big hire. That's the thing that hopefully will get Drake May to another level. And if Drake May is as consumed with football and loves football as much as everybody says he does, and you now pair him with Josh McDaniels, that is going to make them significantly better than they were last year. And if you look at their schedule, much like the Jets' schedule, it's a hell of a lot, at least on paper, is a lot easier than what the Giants and the NFC East have to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be frustrating for the Jets fan that all of those years of the Patriots' dominance over your franchise, and then, you know, both of your teams sort of bottom out, and you look at their rebuild as opposed to your rebuild right now, and you feel like they're miles ahead of you.
Look at the last 5 years of the Patriots, they've been brutal. Ever since they went to the playoffs with Mac Jones his rookie year when Josh McDaniels was the was the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And then right after Josh left to go become the head coach of the Vegas Raiders, all of a sudden it kind of fell apart around Bill Belichick. And then, of course, Gerard Mayo had the 1 year. You never want to be the guy replacing the guy. And now Mike Vrabel is a guy who went and had experience with Bill O'Brien down in Houston, head coach in Tennessee, obviously has ties to the Patriots, all those Super Bowl teams, and now they are going to be a much better, more organized and determined team.
Yeah, I mean, you would think, and also, obviously, the Jets were very interested in Vrabel. I don't think Vrabel was ever really interested in the Jets, maybe using it as leverage, but yeah, just another coach that they really liked that ended up going to New England as opposed to staying with them.
You know, and there are two people that I really like. I don't care what anybody says. I like Bob Kraft and I like Bill Belichick. I like both of them.
Yeah.
And I kind of respect what they accomplished on the field together. What I don't like is the fact that now they're becoming Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones.
Yeah, which, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. What is the point of this? I mean, is it just
to say,
I don't understand,
and Tom Brady could throw right in the middle of all that.
Yeah.
You know, you all three had, the greatest run in NFL history.
Is it because people want credit? Is that what it is?
I don't know what it, you never know the internal politics. You never know what's really, truly going on. And, you know, of course, I'm sure Bill Belichick, after winning 6 Super Bowls and being a part of, nine up there, you would think that he would have a job for life, that no matter what happens, he was always going to be the head coach. But then, of course, the owner, you know, has to be able to corral the coaching staff and the general managers to do what he wants to do and spend the money that he whatever the issues are. But it's really, I don't know. I just wish those two guys could bury the hatchet and realize what greatness they achieved on the field.